Blog Talk Radio.
He's coming like a thief in the night. Yes, indeed. Are you ready? I'm ready. Are you ready? Yes, you are ready, because you have dialed in here to Christian Talk. So that means that either you're a Christian or you want to be a Christian, or you're just checking us out to just see what we're all about. And we just want to say hi to everyone and welcome to Christian Talk with T-Meyer and Tusila. And well, before we go any further, I want to first have everyone to contact some family, friends, and give them the number 646-668-8537. Give them a text or send them something in their inbox on Facebook or whatever. Tell them to dial in. You don't want to miss this particular program. It's going to be pretty good. I think you're going to like it. I know you will. I like it already and haven't even heard it. Okay? So we're going to, make sure if you might see us on Twitter or on, of course, on Facebook. And if you do, then just go ahead and just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tusila, and then you can listen to the entire program all the way through, the entire program. So don't go away. You stay right where you are, and we're going to be right back, and we'll just talk a little bit. Hold on.
Let everything that has breath
everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Christian Talk. And I just want to say hi to Tusila. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. What about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm really excited about our show today. We have a very special guest. And, I think some of the people already know who she is, but we'll leave you just wondering for a minute or two, okay? But before we get started with anything else, there's something else that we have to do, and I think you can hear it. Here it comes. It's time. time for a TNT moment. A TNT moment. That's a T. Meyer and Tusila moment. And we just want to share a few things with you for today. All right, Sister Tusila, what do we have for today?
Oh, it's a very controversial subject, and I know we're going to get a lot of feedback, and a lot of people might not agree, but it's okay because what goes with this subject, and it is the spirit of murder in the earth, and a lot of people are feeling the sting of it. Yet, the Lord said, thou shalt not kill. And still, a lot of people think it's okay. And because of that, we have the spirit of suicide, genocide, and abortions are running rampant in the earth right now. And you can tell that the spirit of reprobation, the reprobate mind, goes along with it. Because a lot of people act like it's normal, and it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
really are reaching when we start comparing styles of murder, And I read the other day that a provisional tally of last year's death holds a surprisingly nugget of good news. That's what was in this report. I said, well, what might that be? What is the good news? They said, nearly 350,000 Americans die from COVID which caused the suicide rate to drop by 5%. And it was 44,000 suicides to 47,000 a year before. And I said to myself, could it be because genocide is taking place in our country?
Right.
And all over the world, really.
All over the world,
and it has something, to do with the suicide reduction if people are doing other things, but they put a lot of emphasis also on ethnic groups. And I was like, wait a minute, the spirit of oppression and depression and anxiety doesn't choose colors, just like the virus doesn't choose colors. And we all know that spirits just go for participants and willing bodies.
Yeah.
That's all they're looking for. And they do the suggestion, but they're just looking for, willing bodies. And then we have other self-induced murders other than genocide and suicide, and that's abortion. The CDC reported that over 600,000 abortions were reported, and the abortion rate was at 11.3% per 1,000 women ages 15 to 44 years of age. And that is like, if you do the math, it's like 189 abortions per live births. And I personally, myself, have a question about that. And I want to know, and I have a question to the human race, by what authority are you operating under that gives you authority over life and death? That's my question.
Yeah.
Making people think that they can induce death towards others? And that's really a low... I hit an all-time low here now.
And
the last time I checked, that was God's job to tell you who has life and who has death. But in 1 Samuel 2:6, the Lord killeth, and it says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth to the grave and bringeth up. I mean, he resurrect and bring it back to life.
Yeah.
And the fact that God gives life should not surprise anyone. He is the maker of every living thing. Even in Acts, it says, it is because of him that we even have life. And we could not exist without him. But I guess a lot of people just think, I came because my mother and father came together, and now I have life. But your breath is from the Almighty. And guess what?
Yes.
If he ceased to forget you, then you won't even breathe again. But a lot of people think that life and death is in their hands. And even in Psalms says, we depend on him for our life and our food and everything else we need. And I'm putting this out there, Brother T, because of a lot of people do not understand that God has power over death. And, a lot of times we see people die and then we go, but they don't realize that death is one of God's enemies. God hates death. A lot of people think that, oh, the Lord did that. No, it is a evil force. It's the devil uses even against God's people. He uses death against God's people. And God never intended that people should die. And a lot of people don't realize that. Even in Genesis, he says, death entered the world because of people's evil deeds. It was a fall that took place that caused death to start. But the most astonishing statement I'm about to make is that God brings people back to life.
Wow. Yes.
That's
He is the resurrection. Yes.
He is. And John 11:24.
He said, I am the resurrection.
I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So all the death is the enemy's business. That's when you're seeing a lot of death around you, that is Satan at work. He's the one that still kills and destroys.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus defeated death for all of God's people. He himself became alive again after his death, to show us that we will be resurrected and become alive also. Christians, let me just tell you, you guys got to know who all the operators are and what side you are on. You know, a lot of times I see a lot of flip-flopping. It's like, get on your side, get in your place, stay there, know who you are, what you're about, who paid for you, because you got a ticket. But somebody paid for it already. And stay with your team. Stick with your own team. Death is the devil's meat. Choose Christ and live and make up your mind to trust God with your whole life. It's so sad, Pastor T. But last week, we saw a rally with like thousands of women in the street that came together for one purpose, to be able to abort or kill their unborn at will, at any stage, for selfish reasons. But if the blood, the Lord said the blood of Abel cries out to God, and that's the first murderer, how much more would the blood of 60 million aborted babies cry out to our Lord? He hears.
Yes.
He will answer. And I'm telling you, God is not pleased with the way this genocide and suicide rate and abortion rate is going. It is not of him. I just really get so upset when I see people saying, well, God, he didn't do it. That's not his M.O. He said he came so you can have life more abundantly. He didn't come here to kill you. He came here, and even when you do pass through, he's going to resurrect you. So when you see all this activity, know that it's not our king. Know who what side you're on and know who's doing these things. These are the acts of the enemy, and he will answer it. Right, Pastor T?
He will. That's absolutely correct. He will. And you know something? Let's stay a little bit. You know, for one thing, we are not the type of people that will hide or run away from different subjects. You can bring any subject to us, and Pastor Tasila and myself, we will talk about it. And that's why I want to talk a little bit more on abortions. And I know it's a touchy subject for a lot of people. It's very touchy, even among Christians. It's a very touchy subject, but there are certain things that have to be said. Maybe you might be enlightened, or maybe you just may end up hanging up the phone or getting off the program because you're angry with me. Either way it goes, I've got to say what I have to say, okay? It's a touchy situation. It's a touchy subject among Christians as well as those in the world. In the natural, understand this, in the natural, in our natural realm, people get abortions for many reasons. For example, they got pregnant at a young age. They were married and got pregnant while having an affair. They got raped. They are not financially stable enough for a baby or for career purposes. Or they don't think they would make a good mother. Or they just don't want any children. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Cecilia, I knew a woman who got more than one abortion. She got a couple of abortions for the simple reason that she didn't like having morning sickness. She didn't want to go through morning sickness, so she aborted the babies. There are many reasons people get an abortion, but they don't know the spiritual root of the problem when it comes to killing babies. Satan is the root and orchestrator of the whole thing, including your mindset to have an abortion. He will even send people your way to encourage you to have an abortion. Family members and friends, strangers even. But no matter what the reason or how you see it, it is Satan's way of reasoning with you by subliminal suggestions that causes you to want to destroy the baby within you. Hiding the pain, Satan hides the pain that many women go through behind abortion. After they've had the abortion, he don't tell you about the pain and the torment that a lot of women go through afterwards. Satan has moved people to come up with a slogan even, you know, my body, my decision. And that's right. It is your body and it is your decision. The choice is yours. But just keep in mind that your choice could cause you to kill an innocent baby. And this doesn't only go for the unborn baby, but babies and children. And, you know, now they're trying to get it so that even after a baby is born, you can still kill the baby, you know. But people are still doing it anyway. They're killing babies. They're killing children. They're just doing it all together. They're being killed by Satan. Satan is putting evil in the hearts of people that they don't have a heart for even babies that are still in the mother's womb. We have heard or read in the news that, you know, and we've read this many times of different women that have killed their children, and people are saying, oh, how could she do that, and all of that kind of stuff, and they're very upset with her. But you're doing the same thing when you abort your babies. They have heartbeats. They are living beings growing inside of you. This is a ploy of Satan to kill the babies. He wants to kill children. Steal the joy of having a baby and destroy your life with guilt after having an abortion. Guilt is destroying many women. Like I said earlier, guilt is really destroying many women. They're going to depression and everything, all of that. The killing of babies goes back, it goes far back, a few thousands of years to the sins of Babylon and Egypt and many other nations that practice witchcraft. It's a form of witchcraft, even to this very day. But the Lord was against it then, and he's against it now. Leviticus 18, verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed, that's your children, pass through the fire, burning your kids to Moloch. Pass through the fire to Moloch. Molech is a demon, is a false god. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord, is what the Lord is saying. It was torture for the children way back then to go through the fire and die. It was torture for them, and it's torture for children today when a child go through the abortion process. Their little bodies can feel this pain. They can feel the pain, and then they die. This is all of Satan. He wants the child to suffer and die as a sacrifice to him, whether you are aware of this or not. There are witches and warlocks who still practice the sacrificing of babies today. This is their season. And some people who practice witchcraft and Satanism have gone so far as to purposely have babies for Satan in order to have them killed as a sacrifice to him. And this has been going on for years, and it continues to this day, and the Lord doesn't like it. Jeremiah 19, verse 5. They have built also the high places of Baal. Now, there it is, another false god, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal. And the Lord said, which I commanded not, nor spake it. I never even spoke for of you doing such a thing, and neither came it into my mind for you to do such things. You are doing exactly what Satan wants when you abort a child. When you abort your child, you're doing what Satan wants. It is a sacrifice to Satan. Only Satan get a kick out of babies being killed, not God. It doesn't matter what your reason for an abortion might be. It is still murder. It is killing an innocent life. It is the same as passing your child through the fire. You're just as guilty as they are. Passing your child through the fire, Ezekiel 16, verse 21, that thou hast slain my children. This is the Lord speaking. You have slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. They caused their own children to go through the fire instead of them. God hated that then, and he still hates it today. No matter what form of murder you use, even our government and different ungodly organizations are in league with Satan. They are in support of killing babies, murdering babies. Our Babylonian system of government that we are living in today is the cause of many abortions and abandonments. Acts 7, talking about some of the leaders. Acts 7, verse 19, he exploited our people and oppressed our fathers, forcing them to abandon their infants so they would die. Some of our leaders here in America and many parts of the world are in favor of killing babies. They support abortions.
Yeah,
many of them run their... Did you know that? And, well, I guess you know this, Pastor Tasila, but I'm just telling the people, many of these political figures, they ran their campaigns with abortions as being one of their main topics. The main thing that they ran on in order to get elected. They used abortions as their main topic. Even the prophet Elijah from way back in the Old Testament was troubled in his spirit because he knew what this king or the leadership of his time was going to do to the children. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. And Hazael, the king, said, why weepeth my Lord? He's talking to Elisha, the prophet. He's asking him, why are you crying? And Elijah said to him, because I know the evil that you will do unto the children of Israel. And if you brought it to today, it would be like, I know the evil that these leaders are going to do to Christians. These leaders, what they're going to do to Christians and to people in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
Their strongholds will thou set on fire, and their young men will you slay with the sword, or today with a gun. And will dash their children and rip up their women with child. It was abortion then, and they are still ripping their women. They're ripping our women today. It's abortion today. Ripping the women with child today. These governments allow it. It is murder. And as it is written, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill in some translations. Why do Satan want to kill the babies in this hour? Well, it started years ago when he was in search of the deliverer. You see, Satan was trying to find the deliverer. He was really in search of the Messiah, Jesus. Even when Moses was born, Satan moved Pharaoh to order the killing of every male child. This is what Pharaoh told the midwives to do, Exodus chapter 1, verse 16. And he, Pharaoh, said, when you do this office of a midwife, he's talking to the midwives, he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, that's how they gave birth, they was on a stool, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But Moses was saved. Then Satan tried it again with Herod, still searching for the Messiah to kill him. But this time, instead of all the male children, Satan caused Herod to order all children, male and female, all children 2 years and under to be killed. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He was terribly mad and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Satan was trying to destroy Jesus, the blessed seed, the Son of God, but he couldn't. Because God saved him. God delivered Jesus when he was just a baby. And today it's the same. Satan is moving our governments and political organizations to allow the murder of babies in this hour. Because just as Satan tried to kill the Son of God, he is now trying to kill the sons of God. Revelation 12, verses 1 through 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is the church in this hour. This is the church in this hour. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. She is being persecuted in this hour all over the world. Christians all over the world are being heavily persecuted, but you don't hear much about that. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. This is the leadership. In the spirit realm, we are seeing Satan. It's the leadership, Satan and his government, his leaders of
and
the
kings.
World.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his tail drew, Satan's tail, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. This is Satan attacking God's people. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her, child as soon as it was born. Satan is after the sons of God. He is after the holy seed that is born of God, so that he can destroy the sons of God. He's after them because they are the ones that's going to destroy the works of the devil. Satan wants to destroy born-again Christians. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, the manifestation of the sons of God. That means bringing to light of the sons of God so that the world can see him. The world can see us once our light is shining. We will be revealed on earth, unveiled, seen clearly. We will have the power and authority of Jesus Christ, which power and authority is given to us by Jesus Christ. By the way, Christians, you actually have that power and authority right now, but many of you don't use it because you're too busy being a victim. For they are on the right hand. We are on the right hand of Jesus and shall be his kings and priests. And shall rule on the earth. That's where we are, people. This is the reason why Satan is killing. And he's especially focusing on the babies. He wants to kill the babies, our young people, our youth. He uses everything. Drive-by shootings, the killing of young black girls and boys, especially young boys, the killing of innocent people altogether. Innocent people altogether with a man-made virus and wars of all kinds all over the world, different nations, cyber and chemical warfare, the persecuting of Christians, but he especially wants to lean in on aborting or killing babies. Don't take part in this. This is all the agenda of Satan. So if you are thinking of getting an abortion, I'm begging you, don't do it. Instead, save your baby. Well, you might say, well, what can I do? I was raped. Well, you still can't murder the innocent child. Save the baby. James Robinson, a famous and powerful world evangelist, was a child of rape. But the mother saved him. She did not get an abortion. She saved him, and he brought many souls into the kingdom of God. You don't know how the Lord is going to use your child. So save him or her. Now, maybe, let's get to this. Maybe you already had an abortion. Maybe you've had more than one. And Satan has hit you with all kinds of guilt. Or maybe you didn't feel any guilt until now, until this message. But Satan has hit you with all kinds of guilt. Because now your eyes is open that it was murder. Just go to the Lord. This is what you do. Hear me. Go to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. And he will. He will. Say, but oh, you don't understand. I got an abortion. I did it more than once. And you're crying and stuff. Go to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. Repent of that. And he will forgive you. He'll forgive you and deliver you from the tormenting spirit of guilt. Jesus will make you whole again. And then you stay with the Lord. Stay with him. And you will see your baby in heaven. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, that's it.
God bless you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Now, I know that some of you may be upset. Some of you might be saying hallelujah. And some of you might be sort of angry with me, you know. But as Pastor Tasila and myself, as we always say, when you hear us preach about things, take it to the Lord. Take it to him. Take it to Jesus. Try every spirit to see if we're of the Lord or not. So take it to the Lord. Don't just criticize and holler and get mad and angry. Just take it to Jesus. That's all you have to do. That's it for our TNT moment. Send some feedback to us after the show or contact us if you have any questions or if you need us to agree with you in prayer. You can contact us at ChristianTalkR. Send us an email at ChristianTalkR@gmail.com. Send us an email, ChristianTalkR@gmail.com. We will reply to you. You can even put your phone number down if you want us to give you a call. And we will. We'll call you. Okay? Okay.
Yeah, and I just want to know if there's any girls out there that's suffering and they want to talk to somebody, that they can. We'll talk and help you out also if you're in a situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. Here's Cindy Evans.
Yeah,
All right. All right. You are listening to Christian Talk Radio with T. Meyer and Tusila. And our special guest today is Mrs. Tracy Byers Walton. Tracy Byers Walton. Let me tell you a little bit about Tracy first, okay? Tracy was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, my hometown. Hey, hey, hooray. She is the wife of my cousin, Timothy Walton, Jr. Tracy enjoys sharing the message and teachings of Jesus Christ, and many of you have probably read some of her very encouraging and spirit-filled posts on Facebook. Tracy, she's earned a Bachelor of Science degree in organizational leadership from Wright State University, and a Master's of Science degree in management with an emphasis in leadership from Kaplan Purdue University. Tracy and her husband, Timothy Walton Jr., are advocates of higher learning education as they have two children with their Master's of Science degree and one child currently pursuing his Bachelor of Science degree. Everyone, let's welcome Mrs. Tracy Byers Walton. How are you, cuz?
Good evening, cousins. How you guys doing?
Hi, how are you? Good to hear your voice.
Nice to hear you. How's everybody out there doing? Glory to God.
Very blessed. Amen.
Very, very blessed.
Amen.
Very blessed. You know, a few little things. You know, you came from some pretty good stock here, a very strong foundation, you know. Your father was a minister and pastor for about 3 years before he went out to evangelize. He was also the son of a pastor, your grandfather, who pastored for over 60 years. And your mother was a very strong woman in the faith as well. You came from some pretty good stock. They married at a very young age. He was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and she was from Granville, Georgia. But guess what? They met in Dayton, Ohio. Hey, hey.
That's
Dayton.
Right. Amen.
So, you know, you can tell us a little about your parents, you know, from what I'm from what I know.
I get excited when I think about my parents. I do. You just have to excuse me because man, we had some great parents. My parents, you know, they just didn't talk the talk. They walked the walk. I remember growing up when we used to have weekly family Bible studies. You know, they taught us how to pray and study together. We also had our own family gospel singing group. We would sing in the community area wherever my father was preaching. Wherever church he preached at, we sang as a family together.
So how many brothers and sisters?
I have a sister. I have three brothers. And I also have, you know, those are my biological siblings, but, you know, I also have a sister that she is not by blood. These are my sisters, Tammy and Michelle. They are my sisters. They are my sisters as well. And I have my brother Clevin. You know, these are people that grew up around us and been around us for as long as I can remember, and they are my family. So it's four other siblings and Tammy, Michelle, and Clevin, and my siblings. Let me just name them because, you know, I love all my siblings.
Okay.
I love them all.
Yeah.
We have been going through some things here lately, and, you know, God is going to bring us back together. But my oldest sister is Tanya Dow. My oldest brother is Russell Byers, Reggie Byers, Keith Byers, and then there is Tammy Wilson-Smith, and Michelle Wilson and Clevin Wilson. This is my family, and dad. He raised us to be a strong, close knit family, and we've been going through some things, you know, with the recent loss of my mom. But I tell you, God is still in control, and I tell you, after we get through these troubling times, oh wow, we got some stuff we want to share with you guys. We're going to be on fire. God is doing some things. He's doing some things.
Is that okay?
Sorry to hear about your mom. Good. Yeah, really sorry to hear about your mom. I didn't know your mom passed recently.
Yeah, my mom, she passed away about 3 years ago, and you know, the family is, we're grieving, but we're healing. God is with us, and excuse me if I get a little emotional because my mother was.
It's okay.
I've always had my mother. I'm 53 years old, and you know, there was never a time, an event that occurred that my mother wasn't with me. So it's a painful, painful, painful thing when you lose your mom, when you're close to your mom. And my mother, she was a great mom. She was a great mom. But God, he got me. And that's one reason why I ended up building and strengthening my faith back into him and building my relationship with him. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. I'm telling you, I would not be here today, you know, and he blessed me. I just want to just focus on that with a great mother. He blessed us with a great mother and great father, great parents. So, you know, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. And you guys sing, you said. You guys, you're a singer?
You know, my father, he came from a musical family, and his siblings, they all play instruments, pianos and everything, in their father's church. Now, my father, he was a choir director and singer, and when he would preach around the Dayton community, we as a family would sing, you know, me and my siblings, you know, wherever he was invited to preach at. So, yes, we sang together as a family. Yes, we did.
Well, Tracy, tell us your dad's name.
Reverend Reginald Byers. Reverend Reginald Byers was our father's name. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned, he was a minister, and he pastored his own church for about 3 years or so. And my grandfather, he pastored his church for over 60 years. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, very strong.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Christian background. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, very strong.
So I came to the Lord on my own through the teachings of my parents. You know, I gave my heart to the Lord at a very young age. I believe I was 8 years old or so when I developed my relationship with God. I was very young, very young, very young. And my rededication to the Lord was through my own experiences. You know, I'm an average person who have trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
So I've lived to tighten up my relationship with the Lord, you know, with the loss of both of my parents. And, you know, I really had to lean on the Most High. I really have. And even with the loss of my grandparents, who I was very close to. And even with going back to school at my adult years and finishing up my degrees, I had to lean on the Most High for all of that. And he brought me through.
He brought you through.
He brought me right on through.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Because when you're 8 years old, you're doing what your parents have taught you. But somewhere along the line, you came into an epiphany about that the Lord was real on your own.
Absolutely.
How old were you then when you made your own decree?
you know,
to God.
My dad, I'm the youngest of five. There's a big age gap between me and the older siblings. And I just remember, you know, taking part in the Bible studies, and I always had this interest in, I always had this love for God. I remember this at 8 years old, but even I would say in my adult years, he's always been in me. And I would say when I went back to school, I say Wright State or so, to work on my undergrad, I started attending Bible study again, because what school did for me was show me how to study. While I was studying at Wright State, I started attending one of my old Sunday school teacher's Bible study classes. When I was a little girl, this lady used to teach me in Bible study, the Bible school at Caden Baptist Missionary Baptist Church, Dayton, Ohio. And I always loved her. Always loved her teaching. Always was always attracted to her teaching. Always understood as a child. Her teaching was very clear and concise for me. So I started attending her classes, and I had the skill set where I was able to study, and I was applying the world history I was getting from Wright State and applying it to the Bible and biblical history. And, you know, I told God, I said, you know, I'm thirsting. I said, I want to learn more. Help me understand this because, you know, we all can relate. We can read the Bible and not really understand what some of the words in the Bible really meant, how to put everything together. And when I asked him to show me, man, things just took off then. So, you know, I just kind of rededicated my life back to Christ and started studying more. And then I'm a breast cancer survivor. You know, I told God, if you bring me through this, I am sold out and I'll never, ever walk away ever again. Just bring me through, Lord. And he showed me. He showed me, and that's where I'm at right now. I will not turn away. He has done so many wonderful things for me. That's one of many things, you know, he has done. And, you know, I know who he is. He's in me, and I'm excited to share his goodness with the world. So I use Facebook as a platform, you know, to share what he's done for me.
That's
if he does
right.
it for me, he can do it for you. So. You know,
that
is awesome.
You do He's a awesome. Good job, too, Tracy. I have to tell
Thank
you.
You.
You get
Thank
me
you.
Very excited when I read your quotes. I'm
oh,
like, that's
man.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I will not get out of bed without, you know, giving God the glory. When I wake up every morning, it's like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's so awesome.
Amen.
He is so awesome. I cannot on ground without giving him the glory. And I want to share it with the world. So, yes, I put that out there, you know, for Facebook.
That's
and,
it.
You know, hopefully this is reaching out globally, you know, of who he
is,
and what he does.
Right.
He loves us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, and the good thing about the God we serve is that he's alive. He's not dead.
Yeah.
He's a living
he's
God.
Alive.
And then he said, if two or three are in my standing in my name, I am in the midst of them. So even
Amen.
As we're all gathered on this phone, he's right here with us.
Yes, he is.
And I love that about him.
He's
a living God. He's not dead. And like you said, you had a situation, and he came through.
Yes.
And we know a lot of people that have situations, and it's so funny to me how God can make himself that personable to each
That's
person.
Right.
It's like you
That's
can
right.
just hear our testimonies and our cry and how we're telling you he's real, but when you can have it for your own self, he's here for you too. He's here for everybody that's on the line.
Yes, he is.
And that's what I love about the Lord. He's not just a selfish and just for a certain small group of people. And I'm like, Lord, how did you make yourself so personable to billions of people?
Right, exactly.
Relentlessly. It's so beautiful.
I know.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, I will share, you know, these past couple weeks or so, you know, I feel like my family has been up under attack outside of my immediate family. And myself and my husband has been under an attack. And you know what? I want to talk about faith. I'm like, I know what God can do, who he is and who I am. I'm his. And I know you're going to bring me right on through. So I'm going to let you do what you do because you brought me through so many other things. And I just let it go. While in the midst of this attack, and Tim and I, we've learned to celebrate when we go up under these attacks because we know what the outcome is going to be. So we just start celebrating and thanking God for the outcome that's going to happen. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but he took us even higher. We came through these situations, and he brought us even higher. Even higher. So I say that to say we're going to have trials and tribulations. But if you trust and believe and exercise your faith, understand God's going to bring you through it. He's going to bring you, that's right, bring you through it. Just exercise, yeah, that faith and stay in the spirit of God. Stay in his presence. He'll bring you through. He brought us through. He's brought, I'm telling you, Till, he's probably in the other room right now like, okay, Tracy, that's enough. I can go on for hours and hours of the scene,
no,
the awesomeness, the
hookups. She's on the show. She's helping the world. She's speaking to the whole globe.
He brought us right on through it. Right on through it. So I'm sold out.
Yeah.
I know who he is. And I share this, I say this to share with everyone. Please just, you know, trust and believe. Exercise your faith. It's easy. It's not a hard thing. Something happened. Hey, pick yourself right back up and know that God, you are the God that sits high and looks low. You are above every situation, you know, circumstance. He's above it all. He's above it all.
Yes,
he's omnipotent.
Yeah.
He's
mm-hmm.
above it all.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bring you through.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I hope I, you know, was able to inspire someone and encourage, you know, folks, because, you know, we all are living this life thing together and we all have situations, but God, he's right there. He's right there for
but
us.
God,
so
I praise like
him.
That. Yeah.
Amen.
So, you know, your story is not over because there's something else I wanted you to tell me about. Like, how did, okay, I could see, first of all, that God's hand has been on you all your life. He's
mm-hmm.
been watching out for you, and he even blessed you with a husband, and you guys have been married for quite a while. Tell me how that happened.
Oh, my gosh. Tim and I have known each other for over 30 years, and our child together is, I believe, I've lost track, 33 years old. And Tim and I have always had this, oh, my goodness, strong connection. I was young when I met Tim. I believe I was 19 years old. Tim is 7 years older than I am. And, you know, we were together, and we this passion we had for each other, it just wasn't our time back then. And what God did was bring our lives back together full circle, full circle, and he brought us together in his timing. Tim is a strong man
mm-hmm.
of God, and God, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you think of God knowing what you need, each individual
mm-hmm.
knowing what they need,
right.
He knew exactly mm-hmm. what I needed. Tim brought me,
mm-hmm.
he brought Tim into my life and vice versa. And I'm telling you, things, our relationship is stronger than ever. It's built on the word of God. And we're excited about it. You know, when we were first, when we first got together years ago, folks doubted it because, you know, we were young, you know, and people questioned.
Yeah.
But they didn't understand God's mm-hmm. purpose and his plan. and it wasn't
there
our
it
time
is.
Then. And here
mm-hmm.
we are now. And folks is like, you guys are still together. Yes, we are. And it was all God. Oh, God. Yes. So, yeah, we're stronger than ever. And God has been blessing us like crazy. So, you know, and I'm just not talking about material things. It ain't even about that, you know. It ain't even about that. It ain't even about the material things. He has just done some wonderful things for us, and we just want to share it with the world and, you know, be an example for him and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as stewards for him. So, you know, we're excited about it.
Yeah, and I am too, and I like what you said about timing. That's, you know, that's God for you. He always has the right time, you know. We sometimes want to rush a few things, you know, or take matters
mm-hmm.
into our own hands. That's when we mess it up. But when we really are patient and wait for his timing, then that's when it all works out. And you guys are like a team. You and Tim, you guys are a team. You're
we
a good team. The Lord knew what he was doing when he put you together.
Is.
He knew what he was doing when he put T. Meyer and Tasula together. We're TNT. And you know, I've just thought about it. Tracy and Tim, you guys are TNT too. Oh, my goodness.
We're TNT as well. Absolutely.
That is something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So being grown up with that strong foundation and your love for the Lord. See, people don't understand this. when you put something, when you put your post on Facebook and people read it, the Spirit is on it. So
yes.
It's not just a writing. You know, it's not just like a lot
Amen.
Of people post things and it's just a writing. But you can tell when the Spirit of the Lord is with somebody because even what
yes.
they write has
right.
it on there. And it's an anointing.
It's
so what do you see yourself doing? Well, what do you see yourself doing in the future, ministry-wise?
Ministry-wise, you know, it's funny you
mm-hmm.
asked that. That's a great question because I asked God that. My mom, you know, before
mm-hmm.
she passed away, you know, I had an opportunity, plenty of opportunities to sit down with her and share with her some of the things that God revealed to me out of the Bible because I started from the very beginning of the Bible and just went from there to the end, and I get excited about the teaching. She would say, Tracy, you need to be teaching. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, but I don't know how he wants me to teach. So I'm not really sure. I just say, use me, Lord. You know, use me however way you want to use me. And when he, you know, it's funny because when things come to me, it comes to me kind of weird. And I don't even know it's even happened half the time. I just start doing it, you know, just by being obedient. So I don't know specifically what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to wait and see. You know, I just started out with Facebook, and we'll see where we go from there.
See where you go from there. And here's the thing that all Christians are to do. The Lord makes this clear for all of us. What are we supposed to do as Christians? Heal the sick, raise
yes.
the dead, cast out demons, preach the gospel,
yes.
teach it,
mm-hmm.
even if it's one-on-one. And if you want to continue, like, for instance, let's say that you want to go and get your doctorate. You know, get your doctor
right.
and then heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. If you want to teach, teach, and then heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. You know, we still keep,
mm-hmm.
we still stay with the basics. You know, even if it's
That's
just a one-on-one thing, just a little small group, or if it's somebody just in your neighborhood, a neighbor or whoever, family members, even,
yeah.
but still, just do what the Lord tell you to do. You know,
that's right.
That's our ministry. You know. Everybody, don't beat yourself up trying to figure out what God wants you to do, because a lot of times you will rush it and you'll jump into something or a type of some type of a career that God didn't put you in, you know. And then there you got it, you know. You're either trapped in something and you can't get out, or you're in something
yeah.
and you're miserable, you know.
Right.
And you don't
and it's
want
okay
that. You wanna...
if the Lord closes the door, because sometimes he closes doors. He don't
yes,
want
he
you
does.
To do something, and it's okay, because if you're looking
right.
for his will, then he'll open wide the door he wants you to go through. So it's okay.
Which reminds
so
me.
So I want to ask a question. Oh, go ahead.
No, go on. It's you.
Well, I wanted to ask Tracy, how does she hear from the Lord? You know, is it strong impressions, dreams, audibly, reading? Which way does God deal with her? Because I like
That's,
to hear how God deals with every person, because he has his unique
okay.
way with different people.
Yes, yes, that's a great question. It's funny to me because I've noticed that I have to remove a lot of different distractions so I can hear from him. That means cutting off social media. That means understanding and real what's going into my ears, into my body, from what type of music I listen to, my surroundings, the people that I hear, the conversations, you know, just removing those distractions. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when I hear from God, it comes through my dreams. I can be asleep
mm-hmm.
at night and wake up in the morning, and I'm like, I heard you, Lord. And I act on
mm-hmm.
it. And it's funny because my husband, you know, he's been a witness of this for some years now. And he's like, he's a believer. He's like, she said it, God brought it to her, and it comes to fruition. So it comes through my
mm-hmm.
sleep. I can be in the shower when I'm getting dressed, you know, because I'm ministering to him, you know. And when I say I'm ministering, I'm singing songs to him. I'm lifting his name on high. When I'm in the shower, when I'm making my food, even when I'm working, I'm constantly ministering to him. And I even talk to him, speak to me, Lord, speak to me, you know, how am I supposed to handle this? When there's a situation going on, I pray about it. Lord, you know, you see what's going on. You're all knowing. You're all knowing, God. You knew this was going to happen before it happened. You know, how do I handle this? What do I say? How do I address this? I just simply asking, you know, and I sit and I wait. But my mind has to be clear to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
My mind has to be clear. So I do a lot of Bible study. And when I say that, I am in my room with my Bible. Sometimes I don't even know what book I'm going to go to. I may just open up a chapter, and I love leaving my Bibles on Psalms 91. It pretty much stays open to that book right there. And when I'm studying, it'll just come to me, and I'll just start turning the pages. And I may even start with the Bible verse I posted on Facebook that morning, and I'll go to that chapter and read that book and that whole entire chapter and understand by listening to him, the Holy Spirit, how is this applicable to what you have may have me to do or what may be going on right now or, you know, anything that's related to our ward events. So bottom line is you have to have your mind clear. Some may even fast and pray. For me, I just have to remove, like I said, distractions and make sure everything that I'm taking in to my through my ears, through my eyes, enter my body is positive, you know. And I know sometimes we're around certain people, certain friends, family members, you know, even conversations that you know don't really jive with your spirit. I know for me, certain things, it don't mix well for me and certain people, you know, and I pray for those people. I don't put anybody down, but if something, my spirit gets a little rattled, I'm like, I shouldn't be listening to this. You know, I just try to stay away from that stuff because it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. It's a distraction, especially when I'm trying to hear from God about something. Satan tries to put distractions in your way, and it's like, you got to say, be gone, remove. You know what I mean? You got to go.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I'm trying to hear from the Lord, and that's when it comes to me. So it's in different forms, but it's bottom line
that's
is
interesting.
You have to keep your mind clear.
And as far as having things around, a lot of people are not aware that you don't want to grieve your angel. You
that's
know,
right.
Be alert about you have guardian angels around you. That God has sent around all of us, and you don't want to grieve them. So if you're looking at something and they can't read it with you, don't look at it. If you're looking
TV, that's right.
Yeah, if you're hearing something and it's you feel like, oops, that's going to grieve them. I heard a story about when Sodom and Gomorrah was going on and the angels were so grieved that they asked the Lord when he was like, I got to send more angels for now, the last days, the end times. They were like, Lord, we don't want to go. Because it grew. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
The angels didn't want to go.
We don't want to be grieved. And even the scripture kind of tells you that. Don't grieve your angels. But beyond that, the distractions, that is something that the enemy is using to keep people from praying, reading, seeking God, and keeping you so busy and self-absorbed. I've never seen such a self-absorbed society as we have right now. When you talk to people, and it's like, well, what's the matter? It's like their whole day is filled with thoughts about themselves. Just pray for others.
Lift up
other people.
That's
think about other people's lives and how their kids are messed up. And they pray for their kids that are on drugs and their kids that are that you talk about to other people. Pray for them.
Yes.
You know,
pray
pray for them. Because a lot of people right now, they're just, it's about them. Me. And they're like 50, 60 years old. It's like you've this next generation needs us.
That's right. That's
it
right.
Really
yeah,
that's
very true.
And I'm always telling Tima, I'm like, this generation has it bad because these people don't want to pay attention to them. They're too still doing their thing. They don't even want to be grandmas and grandpas. They're too much into having boyfriend and girlfriends and doing their own thing right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, back to the distractions, everybody got to stay alert about that because you do want to pray, you do want to read, then look at how many things happen when you've made up your mind that you are going to pray. Then the phone rings. And things start happening.
And you got to reckon, okay,
somebody
all
knock
right,
at
I
the
know
door.
What that's about. Yeah. He tries any way he can to distract us, especially when we get ready to, you know, talk to our Lord and Savior. It's like, okay, I know where that's coming from. I'll rebuke you, Satan. You're not going to stop this from happening.
So
just
you know, I had a spot that
and removing them.
I had a spot that I used to get in, and every time I would go to that spot, everything would start coming up. The phone would start ringing. People would start coming downstairs. And it was like, what just happened? I just sat here. I wanted to get to my prayer. And so I switched my spot. And I'm just saying that so that I could tell other people, you know, just don't do the same thing. Trick them. Move. If you're praying at night, then start praying early in the morning or in the middle of the night. Just flip your schedule so that you can get it done.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm on my hands and knees early in the morning, and I just, the phone, you know, if it means leaving the phone in the other room, that's what's going to happen. That's me and my time with God before I even start my day. You know, when I get out this bed after devotion, posting that, I am in a secluded area by myself, and it's me and him. And that's how we start. We set the tone for that day.
Right. And you
your prayer closet.
And set the tone for your day. And then
that's
anything happens in that space, it has to fight to get in there because it's already closed up between you and the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and it's good to hear you guys talk. It's good to hear you guys talk like that because people need to know that when you're in that private, special place with the Lord, wherever that place might be in your house, when you're in that private place and you talk to the Lord, then he talks back, and people don't understand that. Some people don't even believe it, but God will talk back. That's why my wife asked you, in what way does he talk to you? Because he talks back in different ways. To different people. Sometimes he gives people a strong impression, and it comes to in their mind as a thought, and but it's of him. Strong impression. Sometimes it's happened to me in many ways. I've heard his literal voice. He spoke to me in dreams. He spoke to me in a strong impression. I asked a question, and before I finished the question, he gave me the answer. What we're talking is real. God really speaks back. The thing is that we don't often be still to hear him when he speaks back. You know, we go in for a couple of minutes and pray, and then we come out and we don't stay in there and dig in there and just be before him. And that's what, you know, I like that you kept your Bible on the 91st Psalm because that's that secret place. And in that secret place, he protects your entire house. He'll protect your family, you know, everybody. Mm-hmm. Once you're in that secret place, and there's nothing like it. And you can feel it. You can know when you're there that you're in that secret place. I mean, your everyday life, you know that you're in the secret. When you go to work, you know you're still
place.
I'm glad that you had mentioned that because that's good. And then, like you said, early in the morning, you're on your hands and knees before the Lord. You're in your place, reading your Bible. These are things that we really need to get across to people so that you can become stronger Christians. We are a supernatural people. We should be walking in the supernatural realm of the Holy Spirit. You see, we're to follow Jesus' example. When Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, he was in heaven and on earth at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time. And that's how he was trying to teach. He was teaching, trying to teach his disciples that. And at the same time, as we read our Bible, he's teaching us that, to be in two places at the same time, be in heaven and on earth at the same time, because we're Christ-like people. Christians mean Christ-like people. We're Christ-like.
Yes.
So
you can tell somebody something like that, but what about when Jesus took the two up and then he transfigured himself right in front of them? He had to show them that he was in two places at one time. He said, "I told you, now I got to show y'all. Y'all don't know who I am.
Who I am.
I'm just doing this for you all."
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Oh, God, that was so amazing to me. And still is.
Yes, it is.
We're powerful people. And Satan don't want Christians to know that. So they keep us being persecuted, sidetracked, or he put subliminal suggestions in our mind to have us chasing dreams of that comes to nothing, and spending a lot of our time in things that doesn't develop into anything. And it keeps you going and drives you. And a lot of Christians fall into that when we have to learn how to be still and watch the glory of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. Be still and watch his hand in your life, you know. Be still so you can hear him when he speaks. He wants that intimacy, that one-on-one thing, you know. And when we get into that place, he wants to love on us and we love on him. That's what we have to look at. You know, a lot of people are asking for this and asking for that, but just go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I desire you. I want you." You know, and that's where we need to be. Because the Lord wants us to want him. Everything else is no problem, you know, but desire me is what the Lord is saying. Want me. Be like David.
Yeah.
He was a man after God's own heart. He sought for God's heart, you know, and that's what we are to do in this day. Seek for the Lord's heart. That's why with all the evil that all the bad stuff that David did, you know, committing adultery, counting the children of Israel and all those different things that he did, the Lord didn't count it against him. In the book of Chronicles, the Lord never mentioned his sin. The only thing
that
he talked about with David, he told the people, he said, "Walk before me like my servant David," as though David never did anything wrong, you know, and that's how I want to be, you know. I want to tell somebody, "Walk before me like my servant T. Meyer," you know.
Amen.
I want him, you know, I want him to say, you know. We're living in
so
good,
Tracy,
interesting time.
Very. End of the age.
Yeah.
Yep.
Were you asking Tracy something?
Yes, I was going to ask her all the places. She said she was in all these different states. I was trying to figure out, where were you living? You was like living all over the world, over the United States, definitely.
You know, it's funny. God is blessed. I asked God to bless me with a good career. And, you know, when we ask God, we pray to God about certain things, I've learned we have to be specific. And I asked him for a good career. I asked him for the education. I had to go back as an adult to finish, because when I started pursuing my degrees, I was young and I could not finish them. And I'm like, "Well, I really want my college degrees, and I want a good career." And I said, "I want to work with a diverse group of people.
all different types of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God is so humorous. He's so funny. He placed me in the federal government. And when I first started, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just start laughing because he gave me exactly what I asked for. There was diversity that I've never, ever seen before. I mean, we talking right. about different age groups. We talking about people disabled going to work, you know, veterans mm-hmm. and different colors, different backgrounds. And I'm like, I say, okay, I did ask for this, didn't I? I said, uh-huh. I love yeah. this. I love it. And then as far as the states, you know, I had to always, I had to help take care of my parents. When my dad was sick, I used to live in Atlanta, and I had to come back to Ohio to help take care of my dad, and I'm so glad I did. And my mom said, Tracy, I know you know, you always wanted to leave Ohio. You know, you're free to go. And I'm like, oh, great. I was young. And she got sick. So I had to stay, you know, and you helped take care of my mom. And I have no regrets. I'm so glad I did. And so, you know, God said, you guys are free to go. We became empty nesters. I didn't have to caretake for my parents anymore. And, you know, I'm like, you know, Tim and I were looking for an extra way out of Ohio to get out and venture out. And this job right here has been taking us to different areas. And so we're currently living in Indiana, and I also have a home base in Washington, D.C. We've been traveling to Maryland and also Virginia mm-hmm. trying to decide which state we wanted to relocate to, but God brought us some new information. When I mentioned previously about blessing us and taking us higher, we thought we were going in one direction, and I believe he's I can't go into detail about it yet, but we got turned to a different direction, which is a wonderful thing. So hopefully I'll be able to share that. So, yeah, and I'm like, Lord,
look at that. So with your job, you're traveling.
Yes, and vacation. And Tim and I hadn't had a chance to really get out with just one another and ride and see this beautiful country. And we have been doing that here lately, and we have been in heaven. And just being obedient and listening to him. And it's like, oh, okay, we got it. Mm-hmm. This is what you want us to do. So he has just been doing some wonderful things in our lives, and we thank him. And we're just, that's why I say, just clearing out the distractions so we can hear and understand and be obedient and let him lead and guide us. And just doing that, he's taking good care of us. So, yeah, we've ask for things, and he's given us more than what we even asked for. So we're excited.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
You know, that's something that you said. You asked for things, and he's given you more than what you asked for. So that lets me know that you were asking according to his will. When you ask according to his will, he gives you more than enough.
That's right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see why you were kind of giggling about that. That's interesting. Because you're really, you're not stable anywhere. You're like up for Lord, wherever you want to take us. Just transcend us.
Yes.
We'll go.
We will go. Absolutely.
We will go wherever. That's
wherever.
Something.
Absolutely.
I don't blame you. Yeah, you're like evangelist already. Maybe he's getting your tour together.
I know. That's a good thought.
Hey,
that may be true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be true.
I'm glad to hear that.
That could be true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's exciting. It's exciting, you know, and I'm thankful. And we, you know, we just sit here and we just wait. And when he say go, we go. When he say move, we move. You know, we know it's him. So that's just back to that exercise in that faith. We ask for it, and hey God,
hey, we're going to let you do what you do. Let God do what he do. Let God be God. And, hey, it's done wonderful things for us, just trusting and believing and having the confidence in him. So, yeah.
You know, it's
awesome.
So good when you come. Yeah, and it's so good when you come to the place where you realize that you have to let God be God.
Mm-hmm.
I like that when you said that. Just let God
mm-hmm.
be God.
Mm-hmm.
You
let
know?
Be God. Yes.
And it takes a lot of pressure off of you.
It
when
does.
You just let him be who he is, you know, in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. Tracy, we want to thank you for being on the program. Truly a blessing to us and to many people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. And you've got, I mean, you're very popular. I can tell that already because there's a lot of people listening to you today.
Hello,
yeah,
everybody.
Quite a few.
Hello, hello, family, friends, everyone. Hello.
You got family, friends, and then you got people that's in other parts of the country and Germany.
Amen.
And Africa.
Yeah.
And the UK, and you name it. They're all in the Philippines. They're all over the world.
Praise
and
God.
People are listening, and they've heard your testimony. And it's a big blessing.
Amazing.
Big blessing. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. Big blessing.
Glory
well,
to God.
Let me say a quick prayer to our listeners. For our listeners that's out there, we pray that you were blessed by this program today. We pray that we've been a blessing to you. Our special guest, Tracy Byers Martin, Tracy Byers Walton. I should know better than that. Okay, and thank you for her being on the show, and we pray that she's been a blessing to you. We've been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us every week at the same time. Check your time zone wherever you are in the world. Check your time zone and dial in 646-668-8537. Or if you see our post on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, wherever you see our post and you see a picture of T. Myron Tasila, just click on our picture anytime, and it will play this program. I mean, if you want to click on our picture next week, if it's posting this program, click on that picture, and you'll hear this program all over, the whole entire program. So you can do that. Just dial in every week at 8 p.m. for Christian Talk Radio, and just sit back, relax, put your phone on speaker, and just be blessed. We have different guests coming every week, and we just enjoy ourselves every time we do it, and especially when we have people like Tracy on the line that's very lively and have a whole lot to share. And you keep posting those posts, Tracy. You keep doing it because it's a blessing to many people. Pastor Tasila, you have something? We have a few minutes. Do you have something you want to say?
Well, I was just wondering, did Tracy want to pray for her friends and family while they're on here? We'll all be in agreement with her.
Okay. Father God, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for giving us this opportunity tonight to come together. Lord, you are so good to us. And we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you. And I want to thank you for waking us all up this morning. Thank you for our help and strength. Thank you for sending us your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from sin and death. We love you, Lord. And we ask that you protect us through the night. And bless us and show us how to become closer to you, build our relationships even closer than ever to you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' mighty, majestic name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord Jesus,
praise
for this
Lord.
Beautiful sister. Thank you,
yes.
dear
thank you.
God, for you.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
And for all. For you sharing your
mm-hmm.
faith and your love with all the listeners all over the world. And remember, guys, The only requirement to enter into the kingdom is for Jesus to see himself inside of you. Amen.
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 Good night, everybody, and God bless you. We'll see everybody next week. That's it for Christian Talk Radio with T. Meyer and Tasila. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.